Thank you, J Ride. My name is Matt C, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 24, 2006. I'm hailing from Hutto, Texas. I don't fault you for not being able to pronounce it because nobody can. It's a suburb outside of Austin, Texas. My home group is the Friday Night Lights group of Alcoholics Anonymous. We meet on Fridays at 7 p.m. If you're ever in Austin, Texas, please come see us. We meet at St. Martin's Church. We're a speaker meeting with a 15 and 20 minute speaker. Love to have you. God, a lot of excitement. I love that y'all introduce all the newcomers in the beginning of the meeting. I usually don't feel a lot of pressure, but there's a lot of pressure whenever like 15 to 20 newcomers show up. So, delighted to be here and thank you all for asking me to speak. Yeah, I have 20 minutes to share my story, give you like an abbreviated story of what it was like, what happened, and what my life is like today. I grew up in southern Louisiana. I grew up in an alcoholic home. My dad's an alcoholic. He got sober whenever I was 4 years old. Had a lot of rough memories in my early childhood, and my dad was an alcoholic, and he got sober when I was four. So there was a lot of trauma, a lot of stuff going on in my early childhood years. And as far back as I can remember, whenever I was a child, I'd say probably kindergarten time frame, something like that. I always felt like I was different, not a part of. And just didn't feel like I, was even a part of my own family. Just felt separate from everybody around me. Like, the kids in kindergarten got like the manuscript life that I didn't get, and I kind of showed up. I started drinking whenever I was 11 or 12 years old, and I discovered a spiritual, experience in the bottle. And, it truly made me feel like I can finally sit in my own skin. And I chased that feeling up until the time that I got sober. And for me, that imaginary line that we cross, where we become alcoholic, it seemed I crossed it very, very early. As far back as I can remember, I had the allergy and the mental obsession. Throughout the years of my drinking, it got worse and worse and worse. But in the beginning, I remember it. And because my dad had been sober for a little bit, whenever I started drinking, I remember he would tell me stuff about like the big book. Oddly enough, I remember things where he would talk about the allergy and things like that. And it never really crossed my mind whenever I started drinking that that's, something that I was suffering from. But I love the effect produced by alcohol and what it did for me. And it made me feel like, like everybody else was like at this level and I was always like deficient to get to that level. But whenever I got drunk and I had a few drinks, I got to that level where I needed to be, where I could just sit in my own skin comfortable. And until the end, well, until the last few years of my drinking, that seemed to work, and I chased that feeling. You can imagine at 11 or 12 years old, it's hard to get alcohol, so I found other substances and other things. And I started to have consequences early on, and consequences aren't what make me alcoholic, but for me, that's like the heating point that I knew that my drinking was abnormal. I got arrested my first time whenever I was 12 or 13. Got on probation shortly after that. Then, just quickly just continued to get in trouble, was constantly being punished, was constantly like having to wean myself from drinking and not being able to have alcohol because I was either punished or in some type of situation where I needed to stay sober. And and things just progressively got worse. And at 15, I was pretty bad off. I was drinking pretty much daily or every other day or using other substances. And at 15, I overdosed and almost died. And shortly after that, I got a breaking and entering charge. And things just progressed. And at that point, I knew that I was facing a bit of legal trouble for a juvenile at least, and possibly going to the juvenile detention center. And I ended up breaking my probation and ended up getting sentenced to drug court. But like before all of that happened, and I went to go see the judge, I actually started going to AA for my first time whenever I was 15 for myself, and not like celebrating my dad's birthday, where sometimes I would go to his birthdays at his home group. And I was going to AA for the first time for myself at 15. And I'm sure all the people in those meetings that during this time period had shared the message of AA, but what I heard, and I like to harp on this, that my consequences aren't what make me alcoholic, because I think it's important. But what I heard whenever I was 15 was, is you got a divorce. I heard that, you lost your license. You couldn't practice whatever profession that you were working in. You couldn't drive because you had gotten a DWI. And I had couldn't even drive. I didn't even have a learner's permit up to this point. And so, there was like a checklist in my head that I was making that like, here, I'm not an alcoholic, and I love to qualify what makes me an alcoholic because I think it's important. What makes me an alcoholic is I have an allergy to alcohol. Whenever I put alcohol in any form in my body, I have an allergic reaction. It doesn't mean that I break out in hives. Sometimes I break out in handcuffs, but I have an allergic reaction that I crave alcohol once I put it in my body, and I have no idea whenever I'm going to stop. Usually for me, at least towards the end, it meant I ended up in a jail, in a hospital, in a psych ward. Those are the type of places that I end up whenever I go on benders. And that could I could be drinking for months before that happens, but inevitably that's where I end up. And it usually takes some situation to, separate me from alcohol at that point. But usually once I start drinking, I go on some type of bender, and there's no telling when I'm gonna stop. The other part is that I have a mental obsession, and this could happen while drinking or separated from alcohol. And in any point whenever I'm separated from alcohol for a period of time, that peculiar mental twist or mental obsession ends me up back in a place where alcohol is in my body, and I pick back up. And it doesn't matter if things are good or good, things are bad or things are neutral. It didn't matter. I drank for all types of reasons. I had justifications in my head, but I drank because I was alcoholic. There was really no reason. And I also like to qualify that because I grew up in an alcoholic home and I had all these traumatic experiences, which I've since gone through therapy and, processed and did the work on. And some of that was the help of AA, but some of it was outside help. That doesn't necessarily make me an alcoholic. I was in getting sober with people that had perfect homes, didn't have alcoholism on either side of their family. And I'm not here to debate whether or not it's a genetic thing or not, but my upbringing also doesn't necessarily make me an alcoholic. My brother and sister don't suffer from this illness. They grew up in the same home. Those may be factors, but those are the two things that make me alcoholic. And I think it's important to be simple, and say that in the beginning whenever I get to the later part of my story of what it was like towards the end, because I had all this confusion, and whenever I showed up at 15, I had all these ideas in my head on what an alcoholic was, right? And I thought I had to drink for a certain period of time. I thought I had to reach some certain point. And the truth is, at 15, when I showed up to AA, I was an alcoholic, right? It wasn't a matter of, hey, I needed to drink for a couple of years. I was pretty a low bottom. I mean, I hear people's stories all the time, and the things that I had gone through up to that point were pretty bad. And so I separated myself from alcohol and went to AA. I don't say that I got sober at that time because I kind of just stayed dry and went to meetings. And for me, that wasn't the spiritual answer that solved all my problems. It was a good starting point, but I never got a sponsor and worked the steps and truly formed a relationship with a higher power. It's a good starting point for meetings, but I really, I had a lot of reservations. I wasn't ready to quit yet. You know, it was a period of dryness. Shortly after that, end up in drug court, and I learned all these great one-liners. And in drug court, I use those, and I kind of get through drug court pretty easy. And this is really where my drinking picks up because I get the driver's permit, and I start to drive. I drive my mom's Oldsmobile to drug court. Whenever I leave there, I go to a convenience store where there's a guy that I go to school with who works at a convenience store, and he sells me alcohol. And I'm finally to a point where like I gotta actually get alcohol, and I start drinking several times a week, and that kind of picks up. And all went well for a while, meaning I didn't have any consequences. And towards the end of my senior year, I was a daily drinker. I couldn't get past like first or second period. I had to leave and go get loaded because I would detox in class. And and at the end of my senior year in high school, it just got progressively worse. I got arrested two times in like a 2 week period. The girlfriend broke up with me. I tried to commit suicide and ended up having alcohol poisoning and all these things, just bad stint of things. And people start to cut me off. And there's a part in Bill's story. There's a lot of language in the big book that takes a lot of like looking up in a dictionary of what it means. And this is one of them that I had to like look up. It says that my remonstrances of my friend terminated in a row and I became a lone wolf. And what that means is it's like people reprimanding him and saying, hey, man, you need to quit drinking or you can't be around us. And, for me, that started to happen and people started to cut me off. I spent that summer, basically finding, bouncing from friend group to friend group and being cut off. I end up moving an hour away. I get arrested, end up moving an hour away shortly after that. And I thought that was it. I was going to have the geographical cure, but I take my problem with me anywhere I go. And I end up getting into massage therapy school. And at the end of my drinking, I'd say that last year between like senior year, moving, all that stuff, that last year, year and a half, I didn't want to drink anymore. People were cutting me off. I was facing some pretty serious legal consequences on the last time I got arrested, suspended 1 year sentence. I couldn't manage to keep a job, couldn't manage to like keep things together. Was flunking out of massage therapy school, ended up in on like academic probation in school because apparently they don't like it whenever you drunk dial the whole school class like address book of people on Super Bowl Sunday. Apparently they don't take kindly to that, slurring your words and calling everybody. And things are just like closing in, and I get arrested the last time, and I spend a month in jail. And at this point, my mom had went to Al-Anon. She'd been in Al-Anon for about a year, and she had like cut me off, when I got arrested this last time. We had like a physical contract that if I got in trouble, if I did anything, she was going to cut me off. And we weren't well off. My mom was a school teacher and she raised three kids, and we weren't like we didn't have a lot of money, but she was helping me, get through college. And so she cuts me off. I end up evicted from my apartment, and I end up kicked out of school. And I spend that month in jail with every intention of getting out and like getting sober, but I'd kind of sworn off that that AA wouldn't be the answer. And I had all these experiences that last time that like I'd really owned up, in jail that I was in there because I was drinking. I like to like swear off that if it wasn't because of this situation or because of this person, I wouldn't be in jail and in this situation. And I tend to do that and deflect whenever I was in the cusp of my drinking. And I didn't really do that this time. I had like a God thought that crowded all else that basically came to me and said, if you wouldn't be in this jail cell right now, if you wouldn't have put alcohol in your body. And I did like my version of a third step prayer of what I remembered what the third step prayer was. And I got out of jail and I had every intention of not drinking and 2 hours left of my own devices with a landline telephone and a little black book of contacts, because we didn't have cell phones in those days. I was drunk. And I went on my last bender, and a couple of days passed. The program that had bonded me out of jail was a diversion program that I had to comply with, which was kind of like house arrest with drug court combined. I know this is an international meeting. A lot of these are like U.S. judicial programs, but essentially it was like a program where I had to like call in multiple times a day. I had to go in and take drug tests. I had to go there until I got a job. And there was like very strict things that I had to do or I'd go back to jail. And the catch of the program was they're going to bond me out, but I had to comply. And then whenever I went to my court date, it looked good, or they were trying to rehab me instead of sending me back to jail, basically. And the cop comes to my house, basically says, "Hey, you're not complying with the program." They take me back down to the place, the facility, basically of where it is. And they say they drug test me and say, "Hey, you failed your drug test and you haven't been complying. We're going to send you back to jail." And I just get honest with the caseworker and tell her, like, "Look, here's all the things that I've gone through up to this point. I'm an alcoholic. I have other issues, and I'm going to die if I go back to jail, and if I don't get help." And they gave me the ultimatum to go to a halfway house or go to back to jail. And I chose the halfway house, and that was August 24th, 2006, and I haven't had a drink since. I was 19 years old whenever I went to the halfway house. I'd spent 4 or 5 years coming in and out of AA, and it's very interesting. I got sober young. Young people's are is a huge part of my story, and getting sober young is a huge part of my story. And so all of these things were it felt like a huge barrier to me getting sober. It was like a reservation. Like, how could I be here in this house full of people who are like 40, 50, 60 years old who drank their whole lives, and I'm 19. Like, and I couldn't get it. But I started to hear their stories, and I realized very shortly that 7 years of drinking, I was alcoholic. The things that I did were the same things that they did. And maybe our stories weren't exactly alike. And that's why I always like to say, like, maybe you didn't go to jail. Maybe you didn't go to the psych ward. Maybe you didn't go to the hospital. But if you drink alcohol and you put it in your body in any form and you can't stop, and whenever you do find yourself in a position where you're dry for a period of time and you end up drinking again and you don't know why, you may be alcoholic. And it talks about that in the agnostics in the beginning. Once we start to get to outside of the first step and we start to jump into the steps. And so it's really that simple, and age isn't a barrier, race isn't a barrier, my religious upbringing isn't a barrier. All these things didn't matter. What mattered were those two things. And that's what I love about AA. This is an international meeting. There's people from here from all over the world, and I get to hear people's stories all the time. And it's just Very similar. And I didn't really relate to Bill's story whenever I got here, but the longer that I stayed sober, once it got to the point where he didn't want to drink anymore and he couldn't stop, I really related. All the other stuff I didn't, but that's the important part that, like, once you get to that last couple of years of Bill's story, it's like, wow, he really went through the ringer and he didn't want to do it. And you could hear it in the writing that it just really felt that. And same with Dr. Bob's story. It was very similar. And I think what was different this time around was I was just ready to do something new. And I think that's another important thing. You know, I tried a bunch of times to get sober and it didn't stick. I had a moment of desperation that I was willing to do whatever it took. I wasn't quite honest 100%. I wasn't quite open-minded 100%, but I was willing to do whatever it took. And through willingness, it got me to a place where I was open-minded enough and honest enough, you know, and I think honesty is the big one, to get to a place where I was willing to take suggestion and take direction. And I think I was just willing, you know, and I had a lot of great people tell me like these things that just really stuck with me. And they would tell me things like, just stick around a year. And if your life doesn't get just the slightest bit better, then you can go back to doing what you were doing before. That life is always out there for you, but this way of life, you've never tried. And I think that's little things like that really helped me whenever I was getting sober, because I had all these reservations and I wrote them down. And I quickly got a sponsor. I quickly started working through the steps. I quickly got a home group, which is another important thing. And I started being of service like the first week of my sobriety. We would take meetings to a detox. I'm like barely a week sober going to a detox meeting. And it's like, but the thing is just getting out of myself and getting and being useful, even if I'm going there and setting up chairs and I don't have much to offer in forms of what my story and telling people, I'm there. Hey, I'm a week sober and I'm here to carry a meeting, you know, and that may be enough for somebody who's sitting in detox. I worked the steps. I know a lot of people's experiences. They got sober and things just were hunky dory, and that wasn't the case for me. I spent the first 18 months to 2 years really struggling, full of self-pity, resentment, all of these things. I'd worked inventories pretty quickly. I guess I was within the first 4 or 5 months, you know, gotten through the inventory, made amends within the first 5 months or 6 months. Not all of my amends, but a lot of my amends I made very early on. Started sponsoring people around 6 months sober, 5, 6 months sober. And you know, it's not that things didn't get better very quickly. It's just like I just was suffered from self-pity and all these things. And sometimes we suffer from things outside of alcoholism that we have to deal with too. And so it was about like 18 months or 2 years sober. I was sitting in front of a guy and I had some stuff going on and things were stressful and I was trying to get back into school and do all those things. And you know, I realized at that point, you know, they talk about the third step promises are great, where it talks about being like he is the principal and we are the agents, and basically like if we perform his work well, he'll provide. And I saw that sitting in front of this guy that like I was removed from my problem sitting there carrying the message of AA.
Minutes,
And
please, Matt.
thank you. So I got through the steps, and I got to normal live a pretty normal life in my 20s. In my early 30s, I moved out here to Austin, Texas. Shortly thereafter, met a girl. We had a child. Our child's about 3 years old. Actually, we just got done being at the water park before I got here, and so I kind of dried off, threw on a shirt, fixed my hair, and came here to this meeting. And I'm not here to sell you that you're going to get a pony and a house and all of those things. And you know, but I can tell you, like before all of that, even whenever I was in my early 20s, just getting through the steps and that 2 year mark, I had freedom from alcohol. Right. And that's what this program promises me. But I can tell you that that's what I came here for, but I've gotten so much more. And it's not to say that life isn't always, you know, it's always easy. Sometimes it's very hard, but these principles and these things that I learned in my first couple of months of sobriety are the same things that I do today and the same things that work. Right. And so when I could easily get in my way and easily get to a place where, you know, I start to feel the same way that I did whenever I got sober. Maybe not as bad, but get to a place where I suffer from self, right? And this program provides me a life and a way of life that I can live peace on in my day-to-day life. And it doesn't matter if the girl, the life leaves me or I lose the job or whatever happens. You know, I've gone through a lot of different things sober. I've lost a lot of friends. I can get through that. You know, I had to bury my dad right after I moved here to Texas, and I got to be there on his deathbed, you know, and I got to walk with the grace of God and kind of be there and be useful. With that, if you're new, just try this deal, and if it doesn't work, and you don't get any better after the first year, you always have that way of life that you had before, but try a new way of life and just give this a shot. Thank you.